Now, for some time we've been considering the subject of what is an evangelical, because the trustees of this building say it should be used for an evangelical free church, and so we've been seeking to define what that is, so that those who say, oh, we'd like to use your building, and we have to say sorry, but the trustees don't allow that, because this is what it says and this is what it means. And one of the things it means is that we are concerned about baptism. Why are we concerned about baptism? It's because baptism is something that is commanded in the New Testament. We read from Acts chapter 8, and we saw that Philip met with the Ethiopian eunuch on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he was reading a passage from Isaiah, and obviously he must have mentioned something about the need for baptism. And the Ethiopian eunuch, as the chariot was trundling along, and he would have had a retinue, he said, look, there's some water, can't I be baptized? Because he wouldn't want to use his stock of water, because that was needed for the journey, and they might die of thirst if they use that. But there's some water, can't I be baptized there? And so immediately that the eunuch believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was baptized. And we find this right at the beginning of the book of Acts. Jesus has died, Jesus has risen from the dead, Jesus has ascended into heaven, and the Apostle Peter stands up in Jerusalem and accuses his audience that they are guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these people were Jews, they had an understanding of the Old Testament, and they would have scratched their heads and said, when we rebelled, or when our ancestors in the past rebelled, what did God do then? That wasn't very nice. But now we've killed the Messiah that God promised to send. What's God going to do to us now? Help! What must we do? So in Acts chapter 2 verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. The word repent means to change your mind. It's synonymous with believing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, that's the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who repent and believe, the promise is to you, your children, and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So we can ask the question, how long did they wait between believing and being baptized? You go to many churches and you say, I believe, I'd like to be baptized. And they say, right, well, we have a special course. It will take 8-10 weeks. You've got to go through the course, and at the end of the course, we might think about baptizing you. But that's not what happened in Acts chapter 2. Almost the moment that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, within a matter of minutes, or perhaps hours, because there were so many of them, they were baptized. We read in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch. He believed, he was baptized. In Acts chapter 10, we have a man, a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. And Peter, again, is the one who goes and preaches. He's invited by Cornelius to come, and he comes, and he speaks to them about what Jesus has done by living, by dying, by rising from the dead. And as he is speaking, the Holy Spirit falls upon them as they believe. And in believing, They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so they're baptized. When the Apostle Paul, famously, people say he was converted on the road to Damascus. I think they're wrong. I think Paul was merely awakened on the road to Damascus and realized that he was not the good person he had thought he was. He suddenly realizes he's not a good person. And he gets to Damascus and he's been blinded and he's had a chance to think about himself. And then a man named Ananias comes to him, and Ananias says to him, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized," calling on his name. And so he calls on the name of the Lord Jesus and he's baptized immediately. But over the centuries, people have decided, oh no, we can't possibly do that. We must wait. We must be sure that the person who says they believed actually has believed. But we often think that we know better than the people in the Bible knew. And what we should do is we should do it as soon as possible. When Barry said to me that he knew that his sins were forgiven and that he had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were standing by the sink in the kitchen and I said, "I'll baptize you now if you want." And he said, no, I'd rather do it with friends there. That's why we've done it this morning. But as little delay as possible. There was a lady who was converted when we were in South London, and again we delayed only by a few days because she wanted everybody else to be present. Another lady was converted round about the same time, and she wanted all her friends to be present, but she wanted it to be quiet. She didn't want it to be in a public meeting, so we had it in the schoolroom at the back of our chapel, and she was baptized there, and she knew everybody present. And so it's as soon as possible after a person has been converted, they should be baptized. So that's why we do it as we do it, and when we do it. Scripture doesn't say we should delay at all. What is it? Well, in the various passages that we read or referred to, it speaks about be baptized and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, right at the very beginning of the book of Acts, before he ascends, he tells them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And that is the day when there were the 3,000 that Peter preached to. How was the Holy Spirit given? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. In Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now some people think baptism must mean immersion, must mean going into a tank filled with water and going right under the water. I have heard of people who have been baptized by immersion and then deciding they weren't done properly because they're sure that the tip of their nose didn't go under the water, and so they have to be done again. And you think, why? Oh, but it's important. I've seen a video on YouTube. I suspect it was some Russian believers, and it was the middle of the winter, and they went down to the nearby river, and the river was frozen over, and they cut a hole in the ice, and there were several people there that day who were dressed in white smocks, and they had a person on each side of them holding their hands. And they dropped them into the hole and then they pulled them out again. But their hands didn't go under the water, so they weren't really immersed. But it was freezing cold. They might well have got pneumonia. And I don't read in any of the passages in the scriptures when someone is baptized, Peter didn't say, "Right, repent, go home, get a spare change of clothes, come back and be baptized." I have to confess that I was immersed when I was baptized. I now look back and think, well, it was wrong, but never mind. But I arrived and they said, where's your spare change of clothes? I said, spare change of clothes? So I had to jump into the car with someone and drive back to my college room to get a spare change of clothes, because all my clothes were going to get dripping wet. But if the Holy Spirit falls, we're not immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls upon believers. And if water baptism is a sign of the gift of the Holy Spirit, then surely the water should fall upon the heads of the person being baptized. Which is why, just now, when I baptized Barry, it was water poured on his head from above. A sign of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which he professes he has received, because all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, over the years, there has been a great dispute over baptism. Who and how? Who? Well, the teaching of Roman Catholicism is it should be everybody, and it should be by sprinkling. And I think to myself, well, if they were consistent, surely they would go around with water pistols and squirt everybody. And that way everybody is baptized. Other people say, no, it must be immersion, because the Greek word always means to immerse. Except it doesn't. In our Thursday night prayer meetings, we've been going through Exodus, and last Thursday we read about the Israelites leaving Egypt and going through the Red Sea, and this is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says they were baptized into Moses, but they didn't get wet. The word is used not for a literal wetting, either pouring or immersion. It was a sign of being united with Moses, becoming part of God's people. Similarly, when we read in Romans chapter 6 about being buried with Christ in baptism, it's talking about union with Christ, being united with Christ. And you will hear people saying it must be immersion because it talks about being buried with Christ. So there you have a hole in the ground, and we are buried in a watery grave, like Jesus was buried in the ground. Except Jesus wasn't buried in a hole in the ground. He was buried on a shelf in a cave. So how does going down into water symbolize being buried on a shelf in a cave? It doesn't. And the word baptizo, which is the Greek word that is used, does mean other things apart from to immerse. But Baptists do insist it must be this way. And just to warn you, Barry, if you meet any Baptists, they will ask if you've been baptized. You will say yes. And they will probably say, were you done the proper way? To which you can say yes. Because pouring is the biblical symbolism about the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people will question and say, how is it 3,000, if you believe in immersion, how could 3,000 be baptized in one day? And I've been part of a discussion on Facebook recently about this. And the answer is obvious if you are a fan of the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee is Christian satire. It's very amusing, sometimes very cutting. But they did show one of these American megachurches which solved the problem of baptizing large numbers of people by installing a water slide. And so people just jumped onto the slide at the top and they just went through that way. And all done very quickly. It wasn't true, of course. A church hadn't done that. But it shows the silliness of some people who insist upon these things. The other important question is who? Now, again, Baptists think that immersion means only believers. I did once tease a group of Baptists and say, ask, who believes in adult baptism? And they looked around and thought, who is this guy that's talking to us? And a few put up their hands, and I said, it's wrong, you know. The Bible doesn't talk about adult baptism. It talks about believers' baptism. Doesn't matter the age. The question is, do they believe? And I always refer to a four-year-old by the name of Phoebe Bartlett, who was converted in Northampton, Massachusetts in 1735. And I would, had I been there at the time, I would happily have baptized her because she was a believer. Now other people, and we do have some presents, who believe that the infant children of believers should also be baptized. I disagree with that. They will debate with me about it. But we happily get on together. We don't make a big thing about it. But some people do. But it's the infant children of believers. It's not everyone. Whereas Roman Catholicism, Church of England, would happily, they call it christening or something similar, that is what should be done. But you don't find that in the scriptures. Rather, we read what happened when little children were brought to Jesus. And I always say, we like to do what Jesus did. This is Matthew chapter 19. Then children were brought to him that he might lay hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Which is what I've just done this morning with Olivia and Sophia, because that's what Jesus would have done if he were here now. So we seek to do what the Bible says because we think it's important. And the Bible tells us all about our relationship with God. It tells us how we are sinners. That doesn't mean that we're all murderers and thieves, etc. Although perhaps we are in our hearts. If we hate people in our hearts, Jesus says we're murderers. If we desire the property belonging to someone else, we might not actually take it, but in our hearts, we are thieves. We covet. We desire that which is not legitimate to have. And this makes God angry. God is angry with sinners. And that is why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, in order that those who believe, only those who believe, might be forgiven for all their sins. So it doesn't matter if you're young or old, doesn't matter if you're fat or thin, doesn't matter if you're clever or as thick as two short bricks, doesn't matter what your social circumstances are, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the forgiveness for all of their sins. Their hearts will be changed. Jesus speaks about this. There was a man called Nicodemus. He was the ruler of the Jews. He should have known everything that the Old Testament said, and yet when Jesus told him, you must be born again, he didn't understand. But Jesus was talking about a change of heart that God brings about in the soul of men and women in order that they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the term being born again has been so devalued over the years. I remember an advertising campaign in the 1980s for a new Volkswagen Golf, and the heading on all the posters was Born Again Golf, because it was a phrase in common use, but it was used in a way that had no reference to what Jesus said. We all need to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. This to a very religious man. You must be born again. It's not good enough that you go to church. It's not good enough that you read the Bible. It's not good enough that you pray. It's not good enough that you do all the things that you think are the right things to do, because without this new birth, you will not go to heaven. And we then, at the end of that section, Jesus says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this is offered to everyone if they will repent and believe, so they change their minds about themselves and say, I am wrong, God is right, Jesus is my only hope, and they turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, and then they should be baptized as a sign of having received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a glorious and wonderful message, and that's why we gather together week by week to learn more and more about this, in order that we might show better in the world our love for God and our gratitude to him for all that he has done. We should not make any divisions amongst true believers on the basis of how much water was used or how or when we were baptized, but rather the fact that together we know the forgiveness of sins in our hearts, and together we rejoice at what God has done for us. We who are undeserving, God has done all this for us. And so there is nothing that prevents anyone in the whole world of enjoying the forgiveness of sins except the fact they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God appeals to us all to turn from sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as a sign that that is something that has taken place in our hearts, to be baptized. Not necessarily in front of a large crowd. When the Apostle Paul was baptized, there were only two people present. It was Paul himself and Ananias who baptized him. Doesn't need to be a large crowd, but some people like to have a large crowd to witness what is happening. But that's a purely personal choice. So the message of baptism is clear. It is symbolizing the fact that we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we know our sins have been forgiven. And this is something that can be known for each and every one of us if we will listen to what God has said. So we do thank God for Barry and for his children, and we pray for God's blessing upon them in the years ahead, and that Barry will grow in grace and a knowledge of God, that he might show out more and more the love of God to the world, and people would see that it is God who has transformed him and is continuing to transform him until that great day when either Christ returns to judge the world in righteousness, or he leaves this world and enters the world to come and sees the Lord Jesus then face to face.